The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All of that talk about sending stuff back to online retailers is very, very interesting, because obviously if we have zero tariffs, which has been offered by Europe to the United States, manufactured goods in both countries would be tariff-free, and that would make things in theory easier. However, a lot of the stuff you might be ordering from the United States might in fact have been manufactured in Vietnam or China or Cambodia or somewhere else. So a lot of this has got to unfold, and that's really our theme for the next few minutes. Donald Trump holding firm on his imposition of worldwide tariffs, all of which are due to come to effect by tomorrow. That includes that 20% tariff on the European Union, 34% on China, a tariff he has threatened to add another 50% to if China continues with its retaliation. And China overnight has pledged to retaliate to the end, whatever that end might be. So what does it all mean for the price of goods for consumers, both here in Ireland and in the United States? To look at that, we're joined by Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent, and we're joined by economist Jim Power as well for a more global look. But first of all, Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what do you anticipate will be the effect of this trade war on prices here?
Well, I spoke to about six or seven different economists and experts yesterday to try and get a rundown on various things like energy prices, petrol, diesel, the budget, what's in store in the next one, groceries, that kind of thing, pensions and interest rates. Energy is interesting, Pat. There has been a fall in the wholesale price of gas, which is particularly important in this country because half of our electricity is generated from gas in the power stations. That has fallen. Oil prices have fallen as well. I think what's happening here is if there's a worldwide recession, which, you know, there's a 60% bet on at the moment, this would reduce demand for energy, which is leading to lower prices. Now, it could take a long time before that feeds through into the market because as the energy companies kept telling us over the last while, when wholesale prices were falling, they're hedged in advance.
Yeah. They buy forward. The only thing is they never seem to get a bargain, do they?
No, they don't, do they? You know, and it takes them a very long time to unwind these hedge arrangements.
So you have to ask the people who hedge in these companies, how good at their jobs really are they? Because they never seem to get the bargain price and pass it on to us. They always seem to pay too much.
Yeah, and I put a lot of pressure on the regulator on this one a while ago, and they did go and have a look at the generally at hedging arrangements. Now, they weren't allowed to go in and look at the individual contracts of the Irish companies, so can't really get a sense of it. Mm. But what they came back and said was, look, it seems fair enough to us what's going on. You know, this is the typical hedging arrangement, can be year and a half, and takes a long time for these things to unwind. But look, at least, you know, we had a very worrying announcement a while ago, and it took effect at the start of this month when SSE Electricity broke ranks with everybody else and actually increased their retail prices, 10.5% for electricity, 8.4% for gas. And that was a surprise. So at the very least, you know, this should kind of take that pressure away. Mind you, there's still other pressures on when it comes to electricity prices and gas prices, network charges. You know, we have to invest an awful lot in the system, you know, for various reasons, for environmental reasons. And as we saw during that awful storm, you know, the network itself needs money.
But they still don't really explain to us why our energy prices are so at odds with energy prices in other parts of the so-called single market. I mean, this is... there's something really wrong with the way we run our energy market, and that has got to be addressed.
I totally agree with you, Pat. I mean, I've been calling for a long time for a kind of systemic review of the Irish market. Too much of it, you know, the price is determined by the wholesale price of gas, which means somebody producing wind at virtually no cost once, you know, if you know, the operating cost is low. I mean, obviously there's capital expenditure and putting up wind farms, but day-to-day expenditure is very little. They get the same price as a power station that's using gas to produce electricity. So, you know, the market is all wrong. It doesn't work for consumers. The European Union has talked about looking at this. We've had a lot of talk about it. We have windfall taxes in place, but it's not working for consumers. That's the bottom line here, the energy market.
Now, the budget giveaways that we might anticipate, given how flush our public finances are, they will probably be curtailed even as a precautionary measure in this trade uncertain world.
I mean, the government is very much at pains to tell us, Pat, that, you know, don't expect any big giveaways. We've been hearing for a while before Trump launched this cataclysmic, you know, tariff frenzy, that the cost of living measures we had in the last budget, I mean, we got 250 euros on an electricity credit and our welfare supports. We're being told that there won't be any new cost of living measures in the next budget. I mean, that has been said for a while. But look at it, it's also, unfortunately, looking like tax cuts are unlikely as well. We had Junior Trade Minister Neil Richmond saying recently, and in the last few days, that you know, they don't expect any tax cuts this year. The other one is, like, there was a hope that we'd get extra paid sick leave. That one looks like it's gone out the window as well. So the government are saying, look, we're in, you know, a mode here of sticking to what we have, focusing on how to make the economy more competitive and not, you know, not having a big spending budget. We've had the election out of the way. They're probably not under pressure electorally to deliver a giveaway budget. So look, at the indications are there won't be a very generous budget come the end of the
year.
Okay,
now the cost base for people who deliver stuff and manufacture stuff, if energy prices go down, and they should go down anyway with the weaker dollar, because the dollar is the currency of energy trading. If the dollar weakens, which it already has and is expected to weaken further, energy then automatically becomes cheaper to buy. So there could be a general easing up of the cost crisis for manufacturers and truckers and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I think an interesting one to look at here is diesel and petrol, you know, which has been all over the place. And last year we had the full restoration of the excise duties, and it's been generally going up a lot. But crude prices have been falling lately. Now, that was happening already. It's got to do with the OPEC plus cartel advancing plans to increase output. In the last day or two, the Saudis in particular have said they're going to release even more crude. So what we're seeing is Brent crude, which is the crude we use in this part of the world, has gone from $75 a barrel. It's down to about $64 a barrel today. What's happening there is oil traders reckon if there's a global recession, less demand for oil, yeah. So oil prices are down. And you're right about the course. We buy it in dollars. So if the euro is strengthened, and it's, you know, there's I was looking at an economics people from London today saying the euro has become a safe haven. In other words, the euro is strengthening a lot against the dollar. We buy in dollars. If the euro is stronger, that helps as well. That keeps the price down. So, look, at talking to people like Kevin McPartland of Fuels for Ireland, he reckons, you know, it's a bad sign when crude prices are falling. Generally, it's a bad sign. But what it will mean is lower price petrol and diesel. Mm. May take, and home heating oil as well, Pat. May take a while to come through, because, as you know yourself, when crude goes up, it tends to, the pump price shoots up. But it falls like a feather then when the crude price comes down.
Now, in terms of interest rates, I mean, we had Christine Lagarde with us the other day, and they say a bit of a bump in inflation, but by and large, they're on target for getting to that magical 2% by 2027, I think, and therefore interest rate cuts will continue. Now, Trump may have thrown a spanner in that particular thing, but let's presume those cuts continue. Mortgages could be cheaper.
It could be, Pat. Yeah, no, I listened to that interview, and fair play to you. It was a great scoop to get her in to talk about that. But it's hard to discern what she means, really. I spoke to a number of economists afterwards, and they had different interpretations. But what the markets are saying now, the likes of Goldman Sachs, who are big players, they're saying they now think an interest rate cut is more likely. And there's a decision due on next Thursday on that, the 17th, sorry, Thursday week, actually, the 17th. When the European Central Bank governors meet. And they reckon the big concern for the European Central Bank is there's going to be weaker growth in Europe if, exporting markets to America are cut off. So, and they're less concerned about inflation at the moment. So there may well be more of a chance of an interest rate cut, which could lead to lower mortgage rates. On the other hand, if you're a saver, expect more cuts in savings rates. We've seen a steady drip of those. There will be more of those, unfortunately.
All right, Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much for listening to that conversation. Jim Power, economist. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, it's a very complicated world, because supply chains are all over the place, whether it's auto parts or whether it's, someone who puts buttons from China on a garment made in Vietnam. you know, it's all very complicated. So in America, they have offshored a lot of their manufacturing. So what's going to happen to the ordinary American consumer when they go into Walmart to do a shop?
Okay, Pat, as you say, global supply chains are incredibly complex. There is the example of the iPhone that we can talk about in a second. But if you look at the top imports into the United States, electrical machinery, computers, vehicles, motor vehicles, mineral fuels, pharmaceuticals, optical medical devices, gems and precious metals, plastics, furniture and bedding, organic chemicals, clothing and footwear. A lot of that stuff is stuff that consumers actually buy. It is going to go up. All of those items are going to go up significantly in price, you know, depending on where they're sourced. So for the US consumer, this is going to be an incredible hit. And there's an example in the Wall Street Journal of the iPhone and the various components of that iPhone, the processor, the display, the battery, etc., and the countries in which Apple sources all of those inputs, a wide array of countries, okay, but they apply the tariffs that Trump announced last week, and it results in the cost of the production of the iPhone rising, or at least the cost of the inputs rising from $549 to $846. So that's a 54% increase. Yeah. In the component costs of the iPhone.
That's the cost because of to the Apple. So the cost, yes, to the purchaser is going to be dramatically bigger. I mean, the people are talking about maybe the $2,000 iPhone.
Yes.
But just looking at it, the processor is made in Taiwan, the display in South Korea, the battery in China, the 5G cellular modem, I think, is made in Japan as well, storage made in Japan. The memory, valued at $21, is made in America.
Yeah. That's it.
And then there are other bits and pieces. But basically, virtually all the iPhone is constructed of foreign parts, if you like, and made in China. So even if they set up a factory tomorrow, you know, where are they going to get the components from? They're still going to have to import those components.
They are indeed. And there's that. There's the other, you know, another item that has attracted a lot of attention over the last few weeks has been sneakers or runners or tackies, whatever you want to call them. We call them runners, I guess, in this part of the world. But 90% of all sneakers sold in the United States are made in Asia. Nike, for example, has 130 supplier factories in Vietnam. Okay, and the key Asian markets are Vietnam, Indonesia, China, Hong Kong, Cambodia, India. And Trump is putting significant tariffs on imports from all of those countries. So,
Do you know what really annoys me, Jim? When I hear Trump saying these people ripped us off, Nike's an American company. Nike decides, in order to deliver at a price that the consumer will actually pay in Walmart or wherever they're flogging their shoes, they will go to where they can manufacture cheapest. Nike could have stayed in America, could have trained up people to work in America at American wages to produce trainers for Americans. It chose not to. So it's not Taiwan's fault or Vietnam's fault or Cambodia's fault. It's these big American companies who have done exactly that. That's where the blame lies.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And you can also look at the US corporate tax code. You know, if US administrations had actually simplified that tax code and made it much more attractive, maybe some of those companies would have remained in the United States. So to blame other countries for what's happening with the US trade deficit is totally missing the point, in my view. US consumers will end up paying significantly higher prices for virtually everything. And I think here is the real, I guess, quandary now. If you are importing into the United States, say Nike, and you're faced with the significant increase in import costs, I guess there's three things you can do. You can try and pass on the full tariff increase to your consumer. You can absorb the whole lot into your margins or a bit of both. But whatever way you look at that, it's either going to undermine company profits or it's going to undermine consumer and business demand. And in either case, it is bad for the US economy. It is bad for equity markets. And what we're seeing playing out in equity markets at the moment, which is absolutely catastrophic at this juncture, is totally justifiable based on the policies that Trump announced last Wednesday. So you couldn't make this stuff up. And, you know, the
Well, he did, actually. Yeah. He made most of it up.
He did.
There's
no economic basis at all
for what he's at.
Yeah, there's none whatsoever. Absolutely. And the notion that by imposing these tariffs on sneakers, for example, that Nike will move all of its manufacturing back to the United States ain't going to happen.
Because if it did, Jim, we haven't done this analysis yet, but if you look at the cost per hour of the American worker, if you can find the people with the skills to stitch those Nike trainers, which I think might be hard to find in this day and age in modern America.
Particularly as those capable of doing it are being deported at the moment as well. Yeah.
So what would the actual cost? I mean, maybe it works out for Nike that if their $100 sneaker, if it were to be manufactured in the United States, would cost $200. And if you take it in from Vietnam, it might cost $200. Why not just leave your factory if it's going to cost the same on the high street?
Yeah. It's crazy. It just doesn't make sense.
Now, there is one area where we might be affected, and that's all of us who like to travel on Ryanair from time to time, Boeing. I was watching last night, and there was an analysis of the Boeing aircraft. 60% of the Boeing aircraft is manufactured from other bits that are not made in America. The TV screen that the pilot uses, the TV screens in the back of the plane that the passengers use, all sorts of bits and pieces come from all over the place. So Michael O'Leary might be looking askance at what's going on, because the cost of a Boeing aircraft will soar, if you'll pardon the aviation pun.
Yes, it logically should, because, you know, as you point out there, the imported inputs are going to increase significantly in price, and that obviously will have to reflect itself in a higher price for the aircraft that's been sold. So, you know, definitely bad news for companies like Ryanair, but it's worse news for a company like Boeing itself, because Boeing is a company that's already facing many, many challenges. And this is just another nightmare scenario on top of that. You know, is it possible that airlines like Ryanair, who use Boeing aircraft, may switch supplier at some stage? I'm not sure how easily that's done, but it is, whatever way you look at it, it's bad news for Boeing. And you really would wonder what corporate America is saying to Trump at the moment.
Well, there was a story that Elon Musk begged Trump not to do the tariff thing last weekend. That's reported from allegedly two sources. It's hard to know what to believe, to be quite honest. But anyway, reported that Elon Musk, who has lost, it's billions. It goes into the tens of billions what he's lost on foot of the market collapse. And Zuckerberg has lost huge amounts of money as well. Yeah. All of these tech billionaires, their paper worth has gone down. Now, they'll hope it recovers, I suppose, but they can't be too happy.
No, they can't be too happy. I mean, corporate America has got to be tearing its hair out at the moment based on what's happening. And you really just wonder, with people like Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury, Howard Lutnick, you know, what these people are actually saying to Trump behind closed doors at the moment, if they're not too afraid to say anything. I mean, one of the big problems here is that the guy who's driving this trade policy is a guy called Peter Navarro, who for decades has been anti-free trade, pro-tariff. So I think Trump is clearly, and it feeds into his prejudice anyway, but he's clearly taking advice from the wrong people.
Yeah. By the way, we mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention it again, that Peter Navarro in his book quoted an economist called Ron Vera. I don't know if you know this story. It's quite extraordinary. Rachel Maddow told it on MSNBC. He quoted this person in support of his arguments about tariffs and how they work and how effective they are. Ron Vera does not exist. He was made up by Peter Navarro. It's an anagram of Navarro, his name. I mean, that's how bonkers this stuff is.
I didn't realize that. Wow, that's mad stuff. But you think about the impact this is having on corporate America, but you think we've spoken about the impact it's going to have on the US consumer. Everything they buy is going to become significantly more expensive. And, you know, if companies are going to move manufacturing back to the States, that ain't going to happen overnight. And as we said, in the case of sneakers, it wouldn't make sense anyway to manufacture in the States, given the cost base. But you also then look at the destruction of personal wealth that's occurring. I spoke to somebody in the States last night and whose pension fund is down 70% in the last few weeks. And, you know, obviously there's a high tech component within that pension fund. I'm not sure, but when you see those sorts of dramatic losses being experienced by pension holders at the moment, you really just wonder how long this madness can actually continue and what would bring it to a halt, because bullies don't like turning around and admitting they were wrong. They need some justification for extricating themselves from the predicament they've got themselves into. But it is totally mad out there at the moment, and nobody can say with any certainty what's going to happen next.
All right, Jim Power, thank you very much for joining us. Some of the comments: Trump doesn't seem to understand that it was the US that invented globalization and told the rest of the world to get on board. Maybe these tariffs will have a silver lining if people realize they don't actually need all the stuff they've become addicted to in the good times. Environmental issues have been sidelined due to all the hullabaloo about Trump's erratic actions. Trump doesn't care about the environment, by the way. American corporate greed has led us to this trade war. Will Americans be willing to work for $50 a week? Just wondering if how much will the MAGA caps that Trump supporters have to pay when the tariffs are imposed on China, from Terry in Stillorgan. And of course, his Bibles were manufactured in China as well.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.